Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
The Volume.
The 3-and-Out Podcast with me, John Middlecoff, is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. It's the NFL playoff time, and there's no better place to get into the action than FanDuel. Awesome new and existing user promotions, America's number one sportsbook, very easy to use, safe and secure, you get your winnings fast. I cannot recommend it enough. Love gambling with FanDuel. If you are new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code COLIN so they know we sent you. And FanDuel is now live in Ohio. What is going on, everybody? John Middlecoff, 3-and-Out Podcast. How's everyone doing? Super Bowl week is upon us, and I have Colin Cowherd on the show today, who talked with Tom Brady on his radio television show today. We'll dive into a lot of football stuff, some Super Bowl thoughts, Lamar Jackson, Sean Payton, Tom Brady. We'll discuss it all. We ended up going, I think, like 45 minutes, so I will just do a separate mailbag on a different podcast, and we'll just have this show, just me and Colin. We'll kind of go from there. And yeah, we'll just keep rocking and rolling. Hopefully everyone's having a good week, and we got to enjoy it, man. Only one more football game left. So if you want to get in the mailbag, coming up, maybe I'll put one out Thursday. Definitely have one out for the weekend. At John Middlecoff is the Instagram. Fire in those DMs. Subscribe to the 3-and-Out Podcast. Have a podcast out. This one's on Tuesday. Had one on Monday. Also did a mailbag on Sunday. So a lot of content if you haven't got it. Appreciate everyone listening. You can find us on the Volume's YouTube page as well. And yeah, let's dive into the show. Live here on AMP, on YouTube. Make sure you subscribe, like the video, as well as subscribe to the 3-and-Out Podcast. Big week. Super Bowl. Heard a lot of people watch it. Exciting times. Couple big Mahomes, the Eagles, Andy Reid. Hard to get much better. But before we dive in here with Colin Cowherd, I want to tell you about my friends at Game Time. Here's what I need you to do. Go to the App Store. We all have these smartphones. Download the Game Time app on your phone. And when you do it, type in the promo code John, J-O-H-N. Get $20 off tickets to anything. First-time users. But we got a special deal going for you. Whether you're a first-time user, whether you're an existing user, there's a thing called the Super Bowl. You want to come? Beautiful Arizona. A lot going on this week. Waste management as well. Volume 100. The promo code is volume100. Type that in. Get $100 off Super Bowl tickets. So if you're planning on coming to Phoenix, to Scottsdale this weekend, you're an Eagles fan, you're a Chiefs fan, you want to watch your team win their second Super Bowl in not many years, type in volume100 when you download the fastest growing ticket app, the Game Time. Go to your app store, download it, volume100, get yourself a deal, and do it now. Well, I'm here with the man I was telling you before we hopped on. I was at the gym today. And I had FS1 on the television, and all of a sudden I look up and I see this beautiful man next to Colin Cowherd, and it's no other than Tom Brady, who looked tanner than you, Colin. He looked fantastic. He's a good looking guy.
He is. I said during the interview, never try to limit your appearances on a TV screen next to Tom Brady. He and Jesse Palmer make even a moderately, redeemable guy, and I think moderately redeemable is where I classify. You look like you're out baling hay. You've been in a ditch for 6 hours next to Brady.
You did a thing a long time ago on your old place that when you walked in the hallways and you crossed Jesse Palmer, you just realized it wasn't a fair game for all of us, right? I mean, Jesse's a good looking guy.
I would take an exit. I just jump into an office. I didn't want to be seen in the same space. So. But Brady was in New York doing something with his son. And, I tried to butter. I had a joke to start because I know, there's Tom on that podcast kind of has control of it. So I wanted to lighten up the mood with a Mike Vrabel thought, because I know he's close with Vrabel. And it got Tom in a good mood, and we were off and rolling for about 12, 15 minutes. But, you know, it was very gracious. I've interviewed almost, I think, everybody, you know, Tiger Woods, Barack Obama, Trump, you know, every coach, anybody I wanted. He was one of the last ones. So it was great.
Well, I got two things on it. To me, one thing that stood out, you asked him a very direct question. Is there a 1% chance of you coming back? And the thing I noticed, and I understand it's, you know, this game has meant the light, it's his life, it's his identity. He refused to use the word retirement. And he, I mean, he kind of beat around the bush, but he did not say, like, it's not like he easily could have said, Colin, under no chance, I'm taking this year off, next year be at Fox, but I am not coming back under any circumstances. He kind of went the Belichickian, worked around it. What would your take on that?
Well, now his business is on the East Coast, right? So, I mean, Tom will be able to throw the football. He set two NFL records this year. So Tom will be able to throw the football in 10 years from now. As Drew Bledsoe always says, you don't lose the arm, you lose the legs, you lose the desire. Yeah. So if Tom stays in shape, I don't doubt. And let's say the Niner thing just implodes totally and they call him in August and say, can you play October 1st? I think you take the phone call. The Niners one, even though it's cross country, the roster is so good. You know, there's part of me that thinks, how would he not take the call? Because it's not a quarterback demanding job. It's a quarterback friendly job. Now, when I watched Brady at the beach, I thought it was over. And his answer today, though he didn't give a definitive, I still think it's over. But let's say I retired and I meant it. What if a year later, like the greatest job ever is offered, I'd probably pick the phone up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like Tom looks great, still has a great arm, just was in an offense that completely, utterly depended on him and got them to win the division. So I think he's done. But just because you're done doesn't mean, you know, he's not only a football player, he's an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs always pick the phone up.
You know, obviously, I lived in Northern California a long time, and you know, you're a fan of your team. But as you grow older, whether you play or whether you just do different things, that separates. But there is an element of, one, the guy loves to win and the team is set up to win. And two, like, I lost my dad a couple years ago, and you know, you've lost parents. There is a unique part as your parents age, if you do have the opportunity to do something special with them. So that's, I'd be shocked if, not just Kyle Shanahan, but I bet Josh McDaniels as well. Those two teams, to me, are going to have a conversation with this man. Now, whether Tom comes back, but those conversations are going to be had.
Yeah, just because you retire doesn't mean people can't reach out
exactly.
To you. So I think Tom is retired. It felt authentic to me. But, you know, listen, Troy Aikman got phone calls. Drew Brees has gotten phone calls. That's the way the game is. Like, when you retire and you're great, you know this, 3 to 4 teams every year get trapped. Every year.
Happens in training camp.
So, yeah, I mean, it's like Tom's going to get calls. I think he's going to say no to all of them. But the Niners, because of the roster, you at least take the call, pour yourself a pint and sit and talk for 30 minutes and laugh. You know, I mean, you have to take the call.
You know, and last thing on Tom, one thing I found funny is a lot of people, you know, the media critics and Twitter or whatever think, you know, it's Greg Olson has done a great job. And listen, he's good and he seems like a fantastic guy. But it's crazy that Tom Brady just gets to come in and take the job, no experience. The reality is there's a small percentage of people, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, if they want the number one gig, I don't care who it is, they're getting replaced. Unless it's John Madden, Tom Brady sitting in that seat, regardless who's there. It's just, there's a level of fame that Tom has amassed, I would say the last 5 or 6 years, taking him to another stratosphere, that it's just great, but Tom Brady's Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I stay out of those conversations. Greg is fantastic. And now Tom announced that Greg's going to do it again with Kevin Burkhardt.
Yeah.
Because I think Tom really, A, needs to exhale, and B, wants to figure out how to do this to be great at it.
Yeah.
So that'll be something that my bosses figure out. You know, they don't include me in those conversations, like, right? So I don't know. I'm glad that I'm a broadcaster and I don't really have to do that, because the one thing Fox does a remarkable job at, they're really good at it, is production. When I worked at ESPN, there were tons of talented people, but I didn't think we were overly creative. ESPN's had that NBA pregame show for 20 years. I still don't think they ever get it perfectly right. Fox figured out soccer quickly. Took them about 2 years to figure out golf. Their World Series coverage, their college football Big Ten, the show they did with Urban Meyer. From a production standpoint, Fox does TV really well. Everything feels big. And so Brady feels huge. So he's a natural choice for Fox. I don't know what they're going to do in a year. I just know, you know, Tom signed on as the number one guy. Greg Olson, and this doesn't surprise me at all, is amazing. I've known Greg for over 10 years. So I'm glad somebody else does that. But, you know, I thought, you know, today I because I had thought about it. I thought, I'm going to ask Tom, dude, can't you just take, I mean, wouldn't you want to, you've been playing football for 40 years, probably 38. It's like, I'd want to take a big, long exhale. And he did.
You know, I hadn't read the story, but I saw your take, and then I Googled it, the Tony Romo intervention. And I think one underrated part, I remember getting hired in the NFL and just thinking, like, I know football, and just realizing how many players were in the league, how many moving parts, how much is going on, how much work it takes, whether you're a coach, whether you're a GM, whether you call games, to follow the league. I mean, truly know it. Like, who is the fourth wide receiver on the Jags? And, you know, you saw Romo taking a lot of shit. Well, part of it, the amount of effort it takes to truly be all in football is very difficult. Just it, by well, far, is the most amount of players. It has the most inventory every year of new guys coming in. Guys get cut all the time. Random guys, you can watch any game, whether it's the Niners or the worst team in the league, and they got a random dude that was in the XFL a year ago. It is time consuming. This is not the NBA where seven people play.
Yeah, that's what I said about Romo, is that the league turns over every 3 years. Now, I joked about golf as an aside. I said, I think Tony wants to play on the tour.
Yeah, well, he does. He hits so, balls. You know, a lot of people tagged me and said, John, I said, well, I found a way to monetize golf. Big difference.
Yeah.
Bring a revenue stream to the volume.
The people you do, golf is addictive. And I've known a lot of people that go down it and they fall in love with golf and fall out of love with their job. But, you know, the one thing with Tony Romo is that Tony's always had, even as a player, his style was sort of winging it. I mean, he winged it. That's what it always felt like.
Yeah.
So that's what he's like as a broadcaster. By the way, Peyton Manning was surgical in his preparation. Well, if you watch the Mannings on Monday night, Peyton Manning's got so much information.
It's insane. It's nuts. I know.
So you become Aikman, and Aikman's another guy, very prepared as a player, very prepared as a broadcaster. So I think you become what you were as a player. So Brady will be fantastic. And again, however that, whatever happens, happens. It's none of my business. But
work ethic is not the question with Tom.
Yeah, that's why when he said, I want to take a year off, I think Tom just, he'll do a deep dive on everything. And you know, I can't wait to hear him. I forget who it was. You'll see a lot of people have predicted, well, you know, I don't know how he'll be. He's not a guy that fails a ton.
No.
Peyton Manning's not a guy that fails a ton. I mean, a classic example, Charles Barkley was known as a bad practice player. And he doesn't do a ton of prep on TNT. Now, he's just naturally funny, and that's what comes off. But they joke that he doesn't follow a lot of the teams. Well, he wasn't a great practice player. He struggled with his weight. He wasn't really great in terms of nutrition and commitment. So that's what he is as a broadcaster. He just is so naturally funny and likable that he pulls it off.
You know, my first reaction last week when Sean Payton took the job was, one, if you're Denver, no-brainer hiring him. If you're a Denver Broncos fan, they got a lot of them, I'd be fired up. And my first reaction was like, God, that's pretty risky. You know, the quarterback situation. And then I realized, like, part of what, you know, ambitious, confident, like, it was risky for you to start the volume. It was risky when you moved companies to come to FS1. Like,
right.
Part of getting the reaping big time rewards is taking risks. Andy Reid went to the Chiefs. They had the number one overall pick. They did not have a quarterback at the time. So confident, talented people take big risks because typically they know deep down the percentage and the chances of them succeeding at that are relatively higher. You see, today there was a story, already changed out the towels. Like, he's on everything. This guy is going in there like a bull in a china shop. That thing is going to, it's going to be hard for him to fail. Now, the quarterback situation, Russell's got to be better. And if he's just shot, then that's going to be a problem. But
so now they have a last place schedule. So that's it.
That helps.
Secondly, they at the end of the year, they actually played Kansas City tight. They played better. So when Hackett left the building about 2 weeks later, they got competent. So I said this today. It's not like you're going from a solid coach who got fired, Vic Fangio. Absolutely excellent one side of the ball. You're not going from Vic Fangio to Sean Payton. You're going from Freddie Kitchens to Sean Payton. You're going from somebody that just isn't a head coach to Sean Payton. And how many games did they win? 3 or 4 or 5? Now I saw their schedule. The schedule's easier. And now you have a world-class coach instead of a coordinator. And by the way, Derek Carr is out of the division. Tom Brady's retired. So what if the Raiders are less competent? The over under, I had guessed it would be 8.5. It was, I got lucky on that with the staff. I said in the morning meeting, the day it was announced, I said, they've got to be 8.5. And that's what it was. I would bet the over. I think it's a 9 to a 10 win team. Schedule's easier. The defense still good. You know, this, the cap flexibility is a problem, but what's not is getting draft picks. You can get draft picks very quickly in this league by moving people. The Rams could trade Jalen Ramsey and get a 1st and a 4, and suddenly they have all their picks.
Yeah.
You can make moves if you have elite players. You would never want to move Patrick Surtain. But if you had to move a Jerry Jeudy or you had to move somebody, you can get 2nd, 3rd, 4th round picks real quick.
The other thing is, having a powerful offensive coach, you can draft and hit on good players or turn them into good players in the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th round. He had a lot of guys over his tenure that impacted their teams that were not second round picks. You know, Marcus Colson, Jimmy Graham, wasn't a top first round pick. You can get really good players when you have an offensive coach who's also the play caller in the 4th, 5th, 6th round. And that, to me, is where he comes through. Where when you're paying a guy $17 million, Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan, that's where it impacts you.
Yeah, Sean told me, off the air, he said, basically, we want to make our offense basketball on grass. He goes, if you look at what Russell does well, and by the way, when Hackett left last couple of weeks, Sean, Russell Wilson moved more and the offense was more successful. They want to play to Russell's strength, which is elusiveness, mobility, the soft, deep ball. You know what I think happened? Is that Hackett had an offense, went to Denver, it was Aaron's offense, and it wasn't built for Russell. And he just didn't have a second offense. Whereas Peyton has had a Taysom Hill offense, a Drew Brees offense, a Dalton offense. So Sean has been doing this a long, long time. I just don't think Hackett had an offense in his repertoire for Russell. And that's why when we kept screaming, change the offense, he didn't have it. You're asking somebody to throw Kershaw's curve and they don't throw the curve. So that's why it was so bad.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. Listen, at The Volume, we're always looking for people. And hiring is easy when you have that many quality candidates. And you better believe we use LinkedIn. I just played golf last weekend with a guy who runs an insurance company who said he lives on LinkedIn and he has never found better employees than through this website. Because LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources. And let's face it, how would you even find these people? Well, they're on LinkedIn. And then LinkedIn constantly finding ways to make everything easier. They even launched a feature that helps you write job descriptions, making the process quicker. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/John. That's linkedin.com/John to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Okay, right now, download FanDuel. Use the promo code Colin, C-O-L-I-N. You can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything. Money line, point spreads, who's going to score the first touchdown. The promo code is always Colin. FanDuel has tons of betting options. I like the same game parlay. Bet a little, win a lot. FanDuel's app is safe, secure, easy to use, and you get paid your winnings really fast. Join FanDuel today. Promo code Colin to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, and Louisiana. Permitted parishes only. Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat. Connecticut, 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Indiana, Jersey, and Virginia, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan, 1-877-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369 in New York, Tennessee. Redline 1-800-889-9789 Tennessee. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
Yeah, let's transition to the Super Bowl. You know, I was looking a couple days ago. When you, the coach and the quarterback that win two Super Bowls together, it's a pretty short list, especially in modern day. I would say like starting Walsh, Montana on. A lot of teams that won multiple Super Bowls did it with multiple quarterbacks. And Andy and Mahomes, obviously Belichick and Brady have six. Montana and Walsh have three. Shanahan and Elway have the two, but it happened at the end of Elway's career, so it didn't get to happen over a long period of time, which who knows, maybe they had more. I would say the outlier is Coughlin and Eli that had these two unique runs, but it wasn't like a prolonged success. I don't know if anyone's ever catching Belichick and Brady. You would bet against it winning six Super Bowls together as a head coach and a quarterback. But I think Andy Mahomes, if they knock this thing out Sunday, do have an opportunity one day to kind of be right there as the modern day version of Walsh and Montana.
Well, when Belichick ran the league for 20 years, most of 20 years, there was certainly an argument in the last 15 of those years. Andy Reid was the second best coach. He was getting to the NFC Championship four or five times and a Super Bowl. And he was one of the coaches that gave Belichick problems. Then he goes to Kansas City, two wins to, I think, 11 overnight. And then he's at the end of Bill's great New England days, Andy was beating him with Mahomes. And so I argued this. When Bill was running the league, Andy was arguably the second best coach. With Andy now running the league, Bill's not second. He's struggling to get into the playoffs. We view like Shanny or McVay or Peyton. And so my takeaway is Andy is 64. If he coached to 68 and won two to three of these things, I think we would look at it differently, which would be when the rules lean to Bill, he won, Andy was second. When the rules lean to Andy, he was one, Bill wasn't second. So that I think it's going to even things out, and fair historians will say Andy and Bill are way closer. By the way, Bill got fired in Cleveland, can't win big without Tom. Andy's won with a lot of people.
I would say this for Coach Reid. I remember being at the Combine in 2009, right after they had won the Super Bowl. And a buddy of mine on the staff was like, You know what's crazy is we had a week or two off after we won the Super Bowl. You know, everyone celebrated. And I drove by the facility and I looked and Coach Reed's car was there. And I had the opportunity, worked in the office for a couple of years. I've been around a lot of successful, I've never seen a work ethic like this. To me, the only thing that's going to stop this man from coaching, he's a bigger guy, it would be health. His love and passion for the game, and obviously with Mahomes, like he's going to coach until he can't coach. You know, Coach Reed, he's in this for the long haul. So I think the Chiefs, I mean, they've already built, like, they're kind of the, if they win this, they're the dynasty of kind of this era, but they're not going away. I mean, they got all these young defensive backs. Pacheco's a young player. They got all these draft picks. They got a dynamic GM. Like, I think the Chiefs are kind of in this thing for the long haul. Like, this ain't just a cute little five-year run. I mean, this is a much more sustainable, like, Holmgren and Favre. Well, then Holmgren left to Seattle and Favre kind of, like, this thing's going to go for a while.
Oh, I think so. I think the only thing that is in the way of it is Andy Reid retiring.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
So, and I said this today, Andy retires. Let's say they win and he retires. Who do you hire? Eric Bieniemy?
No.
I mean, Eric Bieniemy didn't get a job interview in Chicago and the GM was formerly in Kansas City. He didn't get an interview.
I think it'd be Matt Nagy. You know, I know he struggled in Chicago, but him and Veach played college football together. Him and Mahomes are tight. Again, I don't know anything. I would be stunned if Andy retires in the near future. Hell, again, he's family stuff, but I think the Chiefs, and I think he knows. I mean, obviously, he was there with young Favre. He's seen McNabb, the little Vic. This is as special as it gets. I mean, that quarterback a couple weeks ago, that was a legendary performance on a bum ankle in a game against an all-time – Joe Burrow is going to be an all-time great player. I mean, that's going to go down as – one of his defining moments, even if he goes on to win four more Super Bowls.
I was actually blown away by Steve Spagnuolo because Burrow has really evened out his game. So his first year, he gets hurt. His second year, he was mostly good, but he had some stinkers. Remember the game against Chicago? He had like three picks and three passes. So he was uneven. This year, he didn't have a bad Sunday. Now, week one, first game off surgery, he struggled. He didn't have another bad Sunday until the Chiefs. And it was like, we don't view Kansas City as a great defense. So Spags got after him in the first half, gave him some problems with rookies in the back end in the second half. So are we watching a defense of the Chiefs that situationally is just better than we think? Because Burrow this year just did not have bad Sundays. I mean, he went 15, 16 weeks. He was good every Sunday.
Well, that to me Sunday is the Niners for about a quarter and a half until that thing fell apart, had a game plan against Jalen. Pick us apart, bro. Pick us apart. We don't think you're missing throws. We are not going to just rush up the field. We're going to make you beat us with your arm. And he couldn't do it. And I heard Greg Cosell, he did not look good. He didn't really have to do anything for the game. And to me, that's the game plan, is make him beat you with his arm. Do not overrush him. I think that's the most fascinating part about this game. The Jalen Hurts early in the season was so dynamic, it didn't matter. Like, he could make plays because he can turn into a running back. This version, it's hard to quantify because you don't see him limp in, you don't see him holding his shoulder, but something is off. And who knows? Maybe now we've had 2 weeks, maybe he's healthier. But if the version that we saw Jalen against the 49ers, I mean, I like the Chiefs in this game if that's the guy playing.
Yeah, he just didn't have any touch. So, and you're going to have touch. And then, let's be fair, Super Bowls are different. It's different playing at home against the Giants or Brock Purdy goes out. And he looked a little off against Brock Purdy. Now you're facing Mahomes, neutral field, a lot of Chiefs fans. That's a totally different ballgame. And again, although there's rookies everywhere in the back end, I hope Snead, concussion protocol, can play for the Chiefs. He fortunately gets a long break. But I can see scenarios where Andy Reid dials it up. Chiefs take a lead. A lot of, you know, multiple sets, a lot of stuff they haven't seen. All of a sudden, Philadelphia gets down. Jalen is a little tight for a series. Kansas City gets it again. Goes up 10-0 or 14-0. All of a sudden, Hurts now is really tight. I can see that scenario. I mean, Kansas City, You know, early in Mahomes' career, he'd fall into these huge deficits and come roaring back.
Yeah.
You know, the new Patrick Mahomes has taken leads. So he's obviously better at staying on the script early, not veering from it, taking leads. So I can absolutely see Kansas City winning the coin toss, taking it, taking a lead, and thinking, and Andy thinking, guys, let's make Jalen Hurts play from behind, neutral field. You know, Super Bowls are different. Everybody's a little tight.
No, I know. I mean, I heard you on the show today. You lean in Eagles a little bit, it's assuming Jalen's healthy.
I said this today. I know the chin will be available. Will Jalen land the punch? There are matchup advantages for Philly. They have the better roster, but I want to see him. He didn't land. He couldn't land against San Francisco. They just basically fell apart. So I know Mahomes will land his opportunities. I don't think he'll have as many. So my gut feeling was the matchup really favors Philadelphia. If you told me Jalen Hurts' first half line and said, okay, he's 7 for 12, I'd be like, they're in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
I think it's very obvious what Kansas City and Spags want to do. It's exactly what D'Amico Ryans wanted to do. Make Jalen beat us, and he didn't look good.
I saw this story. Jeremy Fowler wrote that there's a chance that the Ravens and Lamar are more than 100 or potentially $100 million apart.
Yeah.
And you've talked for a long time about like Kyrie's a bad business partner. Like it's just bad to be in business with him. Well, part of just doing a deal with a player, like it's one thing if I think you're a $10 million player and you think you're a 12 and we can bridge. If you're trying to sell me a home and your home's worth $2 million and I offer 1.8, we can figure it out. But if your home's worth two and I'm offering $600,000, we ain't going to get a deal done. So it's starting to get to the point like $100 million. These aren't $800 million contracts. That's what are we talking about here? Like, listen, I understand this outlier contract of Deshaun Watson. But it feels like Lamar's starting to be in la-la land a little bit about what's going on because $100 million, this is the NFL. That is most contracts. Well, 99% of players don't sign $100 million contracts. What are we doing?
Well, we know by watching Lamar Jackson, he's wildly emotional. He gets so mad at Lamar, right? So he's young. He's emotional. So when he has his mom as an agent, and not somebody who does this professionally, that means the reason I have an agent, just to keep me out of it.
Yeah.
He feels very much in it. So you're talking about a young man who's highly emotional, probably feels slighted, disrespected, and there's probably a lot of, you know, there's probably a little bit of turbulence in this thing. And so I could see, you know, they have offered him a contract. I think they offered him $133 million. So if they're 100 off, he wants $233. What I wonder is this, is if he's not going to use an agent, it's just going to be an emotional relationship.
Totally agree.
Would you move him? Because you could get with somebody with picks. I mean, Seattle has 2 ones, 2 twos, 2 fours. If you're Baltimore, it's like, we'll give you Lamar today. Give us one of your ones, one of your twos, one of your fours, and a one next year. Baltimore drafts John and develops really, really well. We'll take Geno and we'll draft another quarterback.
The Jets would also, they're an emotional franchise that are desperate. I think when you look at Lamar, that word emotion is a good one because it goes back to the combine. One guy said you should play receiver. They got all up in their emotions. They refused to run. It's like, Lamar, if you had just ran the 40, you would have ran like a 4.28 or a 4.31. There's not a snowball's chance in hell you're lasting to pick 32 when you run that fast. You would have gone way higher and said you've fallen. You need to somehow separate this because this is a disaster right now. You don't have anyone who can go shop you around right now because everything is so close to the vest. This is starting to fall apart. I used to be on his side. Like, listen, his success and their success are clearly tied. John Harbaugh is going to get fired before he came around. But now this is going like, Lamar, you're going to start getting some bad advice and you're going to get traded. I'm with you. I think I do wonder with Seattle, they feel like this is their shot to like, assuming they love one of these quarterbacks to kind of, you know, John Schneider loved Russell Wilson, was big on Josh Allen, and I could see him having one of these three guys at the top really love and go all in for him. You know, you got to give him his credit. Like, when it comes to quarterbacks, they've had a pretty keen eye. Even Geno, like, they were proven to be pretty right on that one.
Well, again, Seattle has so
much. Because part of trading for Lamar, Colin, you'd then have to give him $190 million or whatever he wants, right? It's a double whammy. You got to trade and then pay.
Well, Seattle, though, not only do they have draft capital, they're going to move off Jamal Adams here pretty quick.
Yeah.
They both tackles free. Running back, Kenneth Walker, both corners. They hit the draft out of the park, John. They got six draftees that are starting. That's six starters you're not paying anything to. So Seattle, and by the way, they have, I think they need another receiver, but if you bring Lamar in, DK Metcalf and Lockett are more than enough, and Noah Fant and Will Disley. So Seattle's got draft capital. They're going to move off Jamal Adams, I think, because I think they like their other safeties. And my takeaway with Seattle is they're not paying a lot of people. They're not. And Lamar, though expensive, would not be Mahomes expensive, would not be Josh Allen expensive. I mean, I could see Seattle giving them a 1, a 2, a 4, and you'd still have a 1, 2, and a 4.
You know, on another quarterback, Derek, listen, there's, unless you got Josh Allen, Mahomes, Burrow, potentially Herbert, and we'll see on Lawrence, mm-hmm. like most of these guys under 30, you're not winning a Super Bowl, you know, unless your team is stacked like the Eagles. But you have Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, and Derek Carr. Do I love paying those guys $35, $40 million? No. But if your team, if you're a well-run operation, you're going to make the playoffs. And if you make the playoffs, that means all season long, your team matters. And that's worth a lot. Like, ultimately, the Vikings this year, 13 wins. Jerry, 12 wins. They were never winning the Super Bowl to begin with. But going to the second round, hosting a playoff game is worth a lot to the owner. To me, Derek has a lot of value. If you just get him in a stable organization, you put him with the Saints, maybe you get him with Frank in Carolina. If that gets you 10 win in the playoffs, that is well worth $30, $32 million, is it not?
I think this one seems obvious.
He's going to get Frank cut. Wright. He's going to get cut here, I think, in a week, because he's not going to get traded.
So if you're cut, like if you're Carolina and you want him, wouldn't you give somebody a pick to secure him? Would you, if he's cut, what's the order in which you have to buy to get him?
But I would just tell his agent, we will give him like a 3-year contract. You know, I'll give you 3 years, $90 million and guarantee us 60 of it. Like, I will give you way more money than what we trade for you, but we want to give you a multi-year deal, not even just some 130. We will give you several years, and you can still draft a guy in the second or third round and figure it out as you go. But you get someone who comes in and can play. Say what you want about Cousins. Since he's been at Minnesota, he has not been their main problem. Does he have flaws? Will he dump it down on fourth down in the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yes, but you're in the playoff game. Think how many teams in the league would have died to be in that spot, hosting a playoff game, 13 wins? So, yeah. I think Derek, the smart business move, no trade clause, cut me, because someone's going to get – I'm too good of a quarterback. I'm too high level of a guy. I've never been in trouble. I mean, I played for the Raiders.
Also, Derek doesn't want to go to a place that had to surrender picks. He wants them to have their draft capital.
Yeah.
So if Derek has a no-trade clause, which he does, Derek can say no, 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 no to all of them. So Derek has all the leverage here.
For sure.
Then he gets cut. And then, you know, one of the things I saw a story about Aaron Rodgers to the Raiders today, and my takeaway is you're going to have no roster flexibility with Aaron's contract, because they also paid Jacobs, Colton Miller, Max, Chandler, Waller. So you have no roster flexibility. You can't give up that and picks. So when people say, well, give the Packers 2 ones and 2 twos, those are 4 starters in 2 years on defense. Like, you, this is what Denver's in. Denver's like, we got no cap roster flexibility, and we don't have any picks. So to me, the Raiders are in a weird spot. I honestly think the NFC is so weak, John, that Derek Carr, Frank Reich, and that defense win that division going away.
I agree. Totally agree. I mean, they could win. They could be hosting multiple playoff games next year.
Absolutely.
Just, you know, this. I forgot about Aaron. I could never let you out of here without an Aaron Rodgers. How do you think this all plays out?
51% Green Bay. I think Green Bay.
You still think he might stay?
Yes, because I always come back to Green Bay. Minnesota's not going to go 11-0 in one score games. That doesn't work that way. The year before, they lost them all. This year, they won them all.
Yeah.
So you can just take three or four of those. Because with Cousins, you don't blow a lot of people out. You don't. There's a ceiling. So they're going to hire Brian Flores on defense.
Good
hire.
They
will be better defensively. Yeah. So they may be a better overall team, but they're not going to go 11-0 in one score games. If Aaron stayed, they address the tight end position and an edge rusher. They got all their picks. I think they're going to win the division. Bears still stink. I don't trust Detroit. So, and Minnesota will come back down to earth. I still think that's the place where Aaron can host a playoff game. Aaron is being very casual about his future, and I think it's actually a brilliant business decision, because whoever goes and gets Aaron, you can't give up a lot of loot to get him. And Aaron's smart. Remember when Melo forced his way to the Knicks, and the Knicks had no leverage, had to give a ton up? Melo arrived in New York, and he was a $20 million chandelier in an empty house. They had no players. So by Aaron saying, I may play, I may not. I mean, the Raiders will go, okay, can we get 2 ones? And you're like, how about a 1 and 2 twos? I'm not sure you can get more on the market. I know I've talked to Ajima about this. What are you willing to give up for a guy that can retire after a year?
Well, to me, think about his contemporaries, right? Obviously, Brady was like, I'm playing to like I'm 50. You know, I'm never going to quit. Manning never would have quit if his arm didn't fall off. Breeze couldn't throw. If you traded for those guys when they were still as good as Aaron, you just knew they were going to play until they couldn't play anymore. Aaron has been talking about retirement now consistently for several years, and he's doing weird stuff. I think if he operated like Peyton or Breeze, teams would have no problem. I'll give you 2 ones for 30 if a guy might play 4 more years, but he's the opposite. You think he's doing it specifically to limit, or that's actually what he thinks?
Well, I said today, I don't know. It may be an accidental stroke of genius.
Yeah.
But it does pretty much guarantee that whoever trades for him won't have to give up as much as if
he,
instead of saying, I'm playing forever. So, I mean, I think I always put myself in the spot. If I'm the Raiders GM, I'd be like, all right, I want Aaron, but I can get Garoppolo and not give him anything. I'll give you 2 ones. That's it. No more picks, no more. I would do 2 ones for Aaron, but I wouldn't give you more than that. That's it. And when you consider he was an MVP, back-to-back MVP, you know, 2 years ago, that's not a lot. Go look what Russell Wilson fetched.
You put it off long enough, it's time to replace your tires. Tire Rack has tires that will elevate your drive. Touring tires for commuter comfort, performance tires for sporty handling, all-terrain tires for on- and off-road adventure. Go to TireRack.com to get started. Not sure where to begin? Use the Tire Decision Guide to get a personalized tire recommendation, the right tires for how, what, and where you drive. Choose from the full line of Hankook tires. Ship fast and free to a recommended installer near you, or choose the convenience of mobile tire installation. They'll bring your new tires to your home or office, install them on site. Doesn't get much easier than that. Go to TireRack.com/Colin to see their Hankook test results, tire ratings, and consumer reviews, and be sure to check out all their current special offers. Great tires, great deal. What more could you ask for? That's TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
I think the way you have to do it is that second pick is based on, like, if we have success my first year and he returns, then if we make the AFC championship game, I'll give you 2 ones. If he retires on me, that one turns into a 4, you know, something. But there has to be some. We're taking on some risk here, because this guy could be, you know, in the jungles in South America. You know, I don't know where he's going to be.
Right.
I saw your guy Klatt blasting the USC recruiting class. I know you got any thoughts on the players, Lincoln's. He didn't love not enough defense in the class. Any Colin Coward thoughts on that one?
Yeah, my thoughts are, when you have Caleb Williams, do 18-year-olds do you any good next year? He's probably bringing in 21-year-old players who were like all conference guys. So he brings in one of the best corners in the conference and one of the best receivers from Arizona. He brings in a top linebacker from Oklahoma State. They're going for the national championship next year. They're not going for, they brought a running back in from South Carolina. He's a five-star guy. So I think the way Lincoln looks at it is, listen, if we were rebuilding at quarterback, it's the long play.
Yeah.
It's not. They believe they were two plays from 13 wins, and they wouldn't have been blown out if Caleb stayed healthy. So they believe everybody on their schedule, and they will be a better defensive team. They have better personnel. They're deeper. But the reason they went light on high schoolers is because they're playing for a national title next year. That's how they view it, a playoff spot. Well, those 18-year-olds can be five-star. They're not going to play. They're not going to get on the field. They had a kid this year, Relique Brown. He was a running back, five-star kid. Clever player. Had no real impact. Probably six plays all year. Because they had like Austin Jones and they had Travis Dye. We're like 4 years older. So they've been in a college weight room for 4 years. They're just men. So, I mean, I looked at USC's recruiting class, their high school recruiting class this year. They brought in about 15 kids. They have two that are going to play. One of them is Zakarian Branch, is a wide receiver. He will play. He's Reggie Bush on the perimeter. He is a wildly explosive player. He will play. The lineman won't. They brought in a linebacker from Louisiana. He'll be a rotational player. But I'm not sure any of them outside of Branch have a chance to start. And they're mostly four-star kids. So this is not – remember, when Nick Saban started at Alabama, the transfer portal didn't exist like this. So he was building for the long haul. And even Nick brought in multiple junior college guys those first 3 years because Nick didn't want to wait 4 years to rebuild. He wanted to be a title contender by year two, and I think he won it in year three.
Yeah.
So this I think next year they'll probably wean off the portal a little. Well, here's where the portal's really effective, John. There's fewer whiffs. You have tape. They're Division I. You bring in 12 guys, 11 can play that day. So even Saban, in a 25-person class, Saban, eight guys can't play. And there's another eight that either academically, physically, emotionally, they underachieve. You get about eight guys a class who live up to the 4 to 5 star. That's with Saban. So I think the future is transfers. At least half your class have to be transfers.
So do you think there's pressure on him to obviously win the conference and just at minimum make it to the playoffs when he's got, you know, maybe the best prospect they've ever had?
I don't even think it's pressure. I think he looks at Caleb as easily the best player in the country. So, and they've asked Caleb to help in recruiting with these portal transfer kids. So it's like, what do we, so they went to Arizona and they got this kid Singer, a wide receiver. Well, he's going to be a late first, early second round pick. So if I get a five-star receiver, he's not as good as that kid. He ate USC's DBs alive last year. And Lincoln told people, we got to get that guy. Yeah. By the way, they also had a corner that was really good. Lincoln's like, we got to get that guy.
They took some of Jed's guys. Jed couldn't have been happy.
No, he wasn't.
No. But that's, you know, that's college football in 2023. You got to do whatever you can to keep your guys. I mean, it's part of the deal.
Yeah. I mean, if, again, I think Caleb is the first quarterback. I mean, very few quarterbacks they put in the Andrew Luck, Trevor Lawrence class where they're going to succeed regardless of mismanagement. I think Caleb may be the third guy. I think he's that good.
Yeah, I think he's one of the biggest. He'll be one of the most anticipated college stars in a long time. Yeah, just Luck was obviously a great college player, and he was fun to watch for the football nerds. But this guy's running around. He's got a little bit stronger of an arm, a little more just the casual fan. You don't need to be Bill Polian to realize this. Jeez, it's a little Michael Vick to him, but he also can kind of throw like Luck. It's just, this guy might just be I mean, he's going to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, he will. Drake May second.
Yes, pretty good quarterback draft. So, you know, if you suck this year and your team does, you might as well enjoy it because it might lead to greatness.
Yeah.
Well, Colin, when are you headed out to Arizona?
I'm doing the Wednesday show from Los Angeles. I get on a flight to Phoenix, go to the Volume party. You're going to be there, of course.
I will see you there. Yep.
Then Thursday, Friday, do the shows. And then I fly back Saturday morning where I'm going to hang out and watch the game from home and take notes as I do every year. That's what I do. So I can't wait.
I'm excited. Well, I'll see you Wednesday and have a good week.
All right, buddy.
Volume.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings variant are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.